In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is step two. This is something that it's just amazing how God works. Today is day two of the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine. Well, this is the day, it's the perfect day to go over step two, because Our Lady's talking to Louisa about step two. And as you read at the very top, and this is from the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, and everyone should have that book to focus on this month. It's a very important time for us to grow closer and closer to Jesus and Mary through little Louisa. So Our Lady says, "Now, my child, listen to your mama. I know that I love you, and you must know," this is what she says, "you know that I love you very much and would like to see your soul filled with my own seas. These seas of mine are swollen, and we want to pour themselves out." And so this is oceans of love she's talking about, the oceans of love from God. Our Lady wants to pour this out upon all of mankind. "But in order for them to do this, you must empty yourself of your human will so that the divine will may take the second step over you and constitute itself as principle of life in your soul." So here, this emptying, when we did step one, it was to get rid of the human will, to sacrifice the human will. So when you look at a sacrifice, it's basically a killing, a destroying. You sacrifice this lamb, if you want to say. But once you sacrifice it, once you kill it, then the emptying is the draining of the blood, if you want to say. Your human will is what you say when you go to confession every week. "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do." And our Lord is asking us to free ourselves of that. And that's why we make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. So the second step is, it's not only sacrificing our human will, you know, stopping it, but now draining of everything within you, emptying yourself out of all that you want humanly. So you use your free will to choose. Do I want to live in God's holy divine will, or do I want to live in my miserable human will, which is, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned"? That's our human will. And so what Our Lady is saying here is, you must empty yourself of your human will so that the divine will may take the second step over you, constituting itself as principle of life in your soul. So this is going to be your life. Your life is going to be one with the will of God. The saints did the will of God. And now what Jesus is teaching Louisa is how to live in the will of God. This is the thing that's so glorious. And she says that the divine will may call the attention of our celestial Father, of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit. Why? To pour themselves upon you with their overflowing oceans, these oceans of love that Our Lady lives in, and she wants now to give this to us. But in order to do this, they want to find their own divine will in you, not your human will anymore, not the will that you pray every day when you go to confession, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." Not that will, but God's holy divine will, which Our Lady said, "Fiat mihi." When the angel said, "You'll be the mother," she says, How can this be? I want to please God in all things, but I don't know how to do this." And the angel said, "It will be through the power of the Holy Spirit." And then Our Lady says, "Fiat mihi, let it be done as you say." That's Our Lady's fiat. We see, because of her fiat, the incarnation took place. And then we see Jesus's fiat when he says, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." It's a whole new beginning that's coming for all of mankind because of the fiat of Jesus, the new Adam, and Mary, the new Eve. So she says this, they want to find their own divine will in you. Why? Because they want to entrust these oceans, these seas of divine power, divine wisdom, and unspeakable beauty, this divine love in your human will, to your human will. So when Adam fell from such a height that he lost that image and likeness of God. So Jesus and Mary come to earth to our Lord redeemed, Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ. Why? To give back the image. And through holy baptism, we are in God's image again. But the likeness, Jesus says, is what we find when we read, when we study, when we put into practice the truths that Jesus gave to Louisa. So we want to re-enter into that likeness of God. So she says this, but come, courage. You must have courage. And that's exactly the words that Pope Benedict said when he became Pope. He says, you must be courageous. We must have courage to get through this. And we see a lot of things happening in the world and in the church where instead of complaining and being negative, we say, okay, Lord, you have allowed me to be here at this time, to live at this time. You have predestined me to be here at this time. And it's no time for being a coward. It's no time for being afraid or worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. You have to have this courage. And Our Lady says this, and it was really wonderful to hear Pope Benedict when he began. He says, we must be courageous, and echoing basically the words of Our Lady. If you promise to place your human will in my hand. So then this next step is a promise. Like yesterday, we consecrated ourselves again, reconsecration to the Blessed Mother. You know, that's a promise. It's I want to verify by this oath that we want to be faithful to you. So she says, you have to promise your human will, this consecration, placing your human will in my hands, Our Lady's hands. I, your celestial mother, shall take you in my arms, and I shall place you upon my knees, and I shall reorder the life of the divine will in you. So it's Our Lady that's going to do this, the Theotokos, the Mother of God. We go to her because Jesus, this is what Jesus wants. Jesus wants us to, he said this on the cross. He said very, very clearly when he was hanging on the cross, he says, John, this is your mother. John represents all of us. Take care of her. And he says to Mary, this is your son. Take care of him. So we've entered into this family of Jesus and Mary, the family of Nazareth, basically, with Joseph. We enter into this family where Jesus and Mary take care of us. We are in the arms of the Blessed Mother. We're in the arms of God. And that's the thing that's so beautiful about this. So she says, I, Mary, shall place you upon my knees. I, Mary, shall reorder the life of my divine will, life of the divine will in you. So Our Lady's doing this. And this is why this consecration is so important. That's why this month is so important. Starting yesterday, we also began the 54-day Rosary Novena. We want what Our Lady and Our Lord want. We want this kingdom of God being established in us on earth as it is in heaven. It's 27 days of asking, and it's 27 days of thanking God. So she says, you too, after so many tears, shall form my smile, my feast, and the smile and the feast of the Most Holy Trinity. When we look at the Blessed Mother, we remember what she said to Bruno in the approved apparition of Our Lady of Revelation. She said to Bruno, I am the daughter of the Father. I am the mother of the Son. I am the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. She, when we see the Blessed Mother, we begin to understand God. She's the daughter of the Father. She's the mother of the Son. She's the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. And that, It's interesting, those souls who talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit and don't have the Blessed Mother, they're missing something extraordinary. They're missing the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the Blessed Mother. So the closer we get to Our Lady, the happier we become. The closer we get to Our Lady, the more beautiful this gift of the divine will becomes for us. So we'll begin. She says, I empty myself of my human will. This is what we say. I want to empty myself of my human will. She says in volume 4, Jesus tells us in volume 4, 10:3, 1901, you, by offering me your heart for my satisfactions, have emptied yourself of yourself. Do you see what's happening? What are we filled with? We filled of ego and will. And even saints had a strong ego and a strong will. They did the will of God. But, you know, I'm going to build this church. I'm going to build this monastery. I'm going to build this convent. I'm going to, and now Jesus says to Louisa, let me do this for you. And that's exactly what St. Louis de Montfort, the saint we had just a few days ago, his feast day, St. Louis de Montfort, he says, what's going to happen in the end, in these end times, basically, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, but it's nothing to do with us doing it, but God doing it for us. And that's this great gift of the divine will. So she says, you by offering, our Lord says, you by offering me your heart for my satisfaction have emptied yourself of yourself. And because of your emptying of yourself, that's worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, I, God, shall pour all of myself into you. See what Our Lady's getting us prepared for. It's the cup filled with ourselves. We empty it. Why? So God can fill us with divinity. That's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. He puts the drop of water into the chalice and he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. So he says, I shall pour all of myself into you, and from your heart praise shall come back to me. We're praising God and loving God and worshiping God and glorifying God. That's heaven. To be in front of the Blessed Sacrament isn't there, you know, when you're in front of the monstrance, it isn't there to read a book. When you're in front of Jesus, it's to praise him and to love him and to glorify him, to adore him, to let him become our God, you know, recognizing who he is. And that's what he says. From your heart, a praise shall come back to me, and shall carry the same notes as the praises that my heart gives to my Heavenly Father. And that gives us, again, a clue of the prayers that you pray at the beginning. The prayers that God wants us to pray is to, when we do our prevenient act in the morning, I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, with your adoration, Jesus. With your praise, Jesus. See, we breathe in the divine I love you, and we breathe it back to God. That's what Adam did. Adam had nothing of his own. God filled him with himself, the image and likeness. God filled him with Adam with himself so that Adam could give back to God what is God's. So what the Lord is showing us and what the Lord wants us to begin to understand is our prayer life changes. We adore him and we love him and we praise him and we thank him and we bless him and we worship him with his adoration, with his praise, with his glory. That's what Jesus is saying here. He says, this praise, shall from your heart, as God breathes this I love you into you, shall come back to me, he says, and shall carry the same notes of the praise that my heart, the love of God, giving to my Father continuously. Why? To satisfy for all the glory that mankind, do not give to the Father. So we're giving back to God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that our God so rightly deserves. Why? It's done by Jesus in us. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Jesus, pray in my praying. Jesus, dance in my dancing. Jesus, swim in my swimming. We want Jesus to be the Lord of our life completely. That's what this great gift of the divine will does. You enter into a deeper awareness of the love of God by allowing the love of God to reign in us. That's why Our Lady says, empty yourself of yourself. Get rid of the ego, your will, your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin. Get rid of that. Why? So that the kingdom can be established. You see what Jesus is doing? Volume 4, 1:14, 1902. My daughter, the only one who has emptied himself of everything and has filled himself completely with me, Jesus, can be truly worthy of Jesus. You have to empty yourself of everything that is yours in such a way as to make of himself an object of divine love alone. So this divine love is entered into us. The divine love begins to fill us to the brim, or to overflowing, to the point that my love must come to form his life, our life, image and likeness. And listen to this. And the soul must love me, not with a human love, he says, but with my own divine love. So we empty of ourselves of everything that is human, draining the blood, if you want to say, everything out of us that's human. Why? To receive this fullness of God. That's what Adam possessed. And what we're talking about is not about being good and holy and saintly. That's what God showed the saints. They did this on a human sanctity, a human holiness. Jesus is now saying, I want you to enter into a divine holiness. That's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity of Christ. What's coming has never been seen. It's been seen. Adam lived it until he fell. Jesus lived it as the Son of God. Mary lived it as the Mother of God, Theotokos. The new Adam and the new Eve. And now Jesus is saying, I want mankind to receive this gift that Adam lost. The life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. I want you to begin to live this abundant life. This is what God gave to Louisa. Louisa, she's the one that possesses it. And once you get to understand what Jesus and Mary are saying to Louisa, it's a new beginning for all of mankind. This is what Pope St. John Paul said at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. At the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, St. John Paul said, we are now going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. A new and divine way of holiness. This is what God has planned for us. And he's asking us, are you willing to say fiat? Are you willing to enter into this? Are you willing to give up your ego and your will so that you can enter into God's holy divine will? Use your free will to choose. Do you want your human will, which is going to confession? That's honesty. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. That's your human will. And then here's God's holy divine will. And Jesus is saying, do you want to enter into this life? And that's why he says, enter into being the object of divine love to the point that my divine love will form your life. That my divine love, that you will love me with my divine love, not human, but with my own divine love. We can give back to God what God wanted Adam to do for all eternity. And Adam did for a short time until he did his human will, until he fell. Volume 6, 12:22, 1904. And just as light penetrates deeper and occupies more space, the greater the void it finds, and the deeper the place is, in the same way. So when this light enters into a greater void, a deeper space, in the same way, the more the soul is empty, the more the soul is humble, the more this divine light. Oh, I don't know if I'm gone.
You're fine, Father.
So it's okay. Okay. I don't see it on screen. Okay. Thank you. Then I don't have to look at myself. This is good. Let me just know if it goes off. Okay. Okay. So As the light, as the sun finds a deeper space, a greater void, in the same way, this is what Jesus says, the more the soul is empty, the more the soul is humble, this more divine light fills the soul and communicates to the soul its graces and its perfections. That's Our Lady. She is the most humble. And see, what Jesus and Mary are asking of us is that we enter into this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. So how do you empty yourself? How do you humble yourself? Okay, that's the emptying yourself of yourself. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, and no more sin. One of the best ways to do this is to get rid of the word I. Try to talk about your life without using I. Well, I've did this and I've done that and I. It's all about yourself. This is not what God wants. It's about Him. What did Jesus do in your life today? How did, like the sun this morning, I got an email from someone this morning saying, the sun is here. I mean, glory to God. Our God is so magnificent. Our God is so wonderful that our first thought should be of the glory of God, not of self. And so this is what God is doing. He's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to love with God's own divine love. How do you do this? You read, you study, you put into practice the truths that Jesus gave to Louisa. Okay, look at that. The more this divine light fills, so volume 6, 11, excuse me, 12, 22, 1904, just as light penetrates deeper, okay, we just read that. The more the divine light fills the soul and communicates, God is speaking to us, to the soul, its graces and its perfections. To re-enter into the image and likeness of God. We can't be there. Our human will can't be there anymore. It's got to be for the glory of God. We adore you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. It's got to be everything's for the glory of God, nothing for us. And this is why Jesus tells Louisa, entering into the divine will is not to become a saint. Can you believe that? When I first read that, I go, well, why are you in the divine will then? And he says, you enter into the divine will to give God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that a God so rightly deserves. That's why we're in the divine will. It's to become a saint isn't what God wants. Now, that might sound strange at first, but he wants us to share in divinity, to be in God's image and likeness. To become a saint is what we've learned for the last 2,000 years. We learn the prayers of the saints, the lives of the saints, the martyrdoms of the saints. What Jesus is asking of us is to enter into his life. We know the prayers of St. Ignatius, the prayers of St. Francis, the prayers of St. Gertrude. We love the prayers of the saints. But Jesus says, now I'm going to teach you how I prayed. Mary says this to Louisa, I'm going to teach you how to pray with powerful prayers that Our Lady prays with. See, it's time now for sanctification. It's now to enter into this abundant life. That's what Jesus is saying. Read what Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno. 73 years ago, now she says it's to begin to understand that time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. Why do you think everything is happening all over in the church and in the world today? The kingdom is coming. God's wrapping it up. He's saying to the evil one, take what's yours and get out. My kingdom is coming. Those that want my kingdom are going to possess it. Those that don't want it can't have it. Everything's wrapping up. And it's not the end of the world. It's the kingdom is coming. So Jesus says this. Okay, to fill us with graces and perfections, to communicate. God speaks this grace and perfection in us. How does this happen? When you read the book of heaven, God is speaking to you these graces and perfections. Read every day. Volume 6, 10, 12, 1905. My daughter, the knowledge of self, to truly know who you are, is to go to confession. That's who you are. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm sorry. I don't want to live like this. That's knowing of yourself. Hollywood says something different. Oh, you win a trophy. You win an award. You are great. You are magnificent. You're a great mimic. You're a great copy. No. What God is saying is we want to be, he says, I want you to be like me, not theater. So this is what he's saying. My daughter, the knowledge of self empties the soul of herself and fills the soul with God. When you go to confession, you say, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to worry. I don't want to be fearful. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to be complaining. I don't want to be negative anymore. I want to enter into your life, Jesus, to your life, Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And God goes, good. Now we'll test you the next week. And then we fail. And he says, I'll test you the next week. But Jesus says, I have to see what you want. I have to give you what you want. And that's what's coming. Emptying the soul of herself fills the soul with God. Now the knowledge of self brings with it the knowledge of the things of this world. And therefore, how everything is vanity, everything is fleetingness. The goods are only masks, the deceits, the inconstancy of creature. This is where we are. So knowing how things are in themselves, the soul is well wary of letting them enter into themselves. And so also those receptacles will remain filled with the virtues of God. This emptiness that we have will be filled with the virtues of God. We don't want anything of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We want everything of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm going to show you how to live this life. Now, we've mentioned before, the catechism was basically thrown out. We have the beautiful catechism of John Paul II. It's beautiful. But who reads it? When I was younger, we had the Baltimore Catechism. We studied in school, you know, the catechism. We learned the catechism. Today, Jesus is saying, since nothing has been taught, really, I mean, people have some strange ideas. He says, I'm going to teach you with the book of heaven. As you read the book of heaven, Jesus is speaking to you. Jesus is teaching you how to become Catholic, how to re-enter into this universal life that Adam lost. That's what God is doing. This is an amazing time. It's really amazing time to be filled with the virtues of God. Volume 7, 4, 29, 1906. My daughter, an empty soul is like water that runs and always runs. When it reaches the center from which it came, only then does it stop. Since water has no color, it receives into itself all the colors that are reflected in it. In the same way, the empty soul runs and always runs. Where? Towards the divine center. Empty of what? Empty of self, ego, will. Which from which she came. And she comes to fill all of herself completely with God. Listen to this. And only then does she stop. In fact, since she is empty, nothing of the divine being escapes her. We begin to participate in God. This is why we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. This is time we spend time in front of the monstrance, to be absorbed into God, to fall in love with God, to adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and bless him. It's heaven. It's to fall in love with God. That's what God is asking. Listen to this. It says here, in fact, when the soul is empty, nothing of the divine being escapes that soul. And since the soul does not have color of her own, she receives all the divine colors into herself. Now, only an empty soul receives this, because the soul is empty of everything and comprehends things only according to the truth. That's Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The preciousness of suffering. Today it's oh, don't suffer. Don't. Suffering is redemptive. All of us are suffering. Spiritual, physical, mental, emotional suffering. All of us are suffering. And why? Jesus redeemed us. When he died on the cross, he redeemed us. Are they to co-redeem with Christ at the foot of the cross? Why are we still suffering? As St. Paul says, participating in that suffering of Christ. The true good of virtue. The necessity, listen to this, for the eternal one alone. All we want is God. That's what's good. When you're on your deathbed, all you're going to want is God. Nobody's going to be there to help you. You know, the angels might be there, the saints might be there, but no human will really be there to help you. I mean, one of the things that you can watch that's helpful is the near-death experiences. When you're there, you're presented before God. God is there, and he's the only one. He's our life. He's our light. He's our everything. And so Jesus is saying, I want you to begin to live that now. He says, you're going to comprehend things according to Jesus, the truth, the preciousness of suffering, the true good of virtue, the necessity for the eternal one alone, God alone. Because in order to love something, it is absolutely necessary to hate that which is opposite to what is loved. This is why everyone should have a crucifix. Everyone should have a crucifix. Everyone should have a rosary. Everyone should have an image of Jesus and Mary. The new Adam, the new Eve. On your outside of your house, on the inside of your house, if you have a statue on the outside, put a light on it. Put a crown on the Blessed Mother. Put a crown on Jesus. Here is my King. Here is my Queen. Let the world know who you love. Who is your King? You know, it's not the stars in Hollywood. No, it's Jesus. That's why it says the necessity for the eternal one alone. Because in order to love something, it is absolutely necessary to hate that which is opposite to what is loved. Only an empty soul, empty of yourself, of your ego, of your will, of worry, of fear, or anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin. Only an empty soul reaches such a great happiness. That's the second step of entering into the divine will. The first step was sacrifice. You got to sacrifice your human will. It's got to go. The second step is it can't have any part of you. You empty that glass completely so God can fill you to overflowing. Volume 8, 10/29, 1907. What is sacrifice? Sacrifice is to empty oneself out in the love. Is to empty oneself out in the love and in the being of the beloved. We want nothing but Jesus. We want nothing but Mary. We want nothing but the new Adam and the new Eve. The Father wants us to receive his kingdom. Whose kingdom is this? Jesus says, I give this kingdom to my mother. All the kings honored their mother. You look at when you go to the St. Mary's Church in Italy. I can't think of the name of it. There's Jesus crowning his Blessed Mother in the dome of the sanctuary. He's crowning his mother, Queen. That's what we do too. That's why I'm saying, if you have a statue of a Blessed Mother outside, crown her as your queen, as your mother. And so it says very clearly, emptying himself of oneself out in the love of God, in the being of the beloved. And the more one sacrifices himself, the more he is consumed in the being of the beloved. Jesus said to St. Faustina, I want you to become a living host. That's what Jesus said to St. Faustina. What Jesus teaches Louisa in volume 15 and volume 16 is how to become a living host. He said it to Faustina. This is what's coming. This is the new and divine way of holiness that's coming. Now he says, I'm going to show you how to become a living host. To become, listen to this, it says, right, to be consumed in the being of the beloved. What you're going to experience is the understanding of the Eucharistic reign of Jesus in the Book of Heaven. You're going to begin to understand the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. How God is going to do this. And that's why we love reading every day. Reading every day. If you have the calendar, read the calendar every day. By the end of the year, you've read all 36 volumes. You've entered into this life, and you can never be the same. You begin to understand how much God loves us. So he says, the more the one sacrifices, the more he is consumed in the being of the beloved, losing his own and acquiring all the features, all the nobility of God, of the divine being. We enter into God's image and likeness again. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly. That's what the saints were taught. Now Jesus says, what the priest says every day of Holy Mass, you have to begin to enter into the a life of being, sharing in divinity. St. Peter talks about this in the epistle. You have to become divinized, he says. You don't become God, but God wants you to be like him. This is what Jesus is saying. Volume 8, 1118, 1907. I feel I am reduced to nothing. Good. Good. I no longer feel anything in me. Good. Everything is empty. Great. Ah, my daughter. Now Jesus speaks to Louisa. This is with Louisa first. I feel like I'm reduced to nothing. Ah, my daughter. You afflict yourself and you feel reduced to nothing? Rather, he says, I say to you, the more the creature is reduced to nothing, the more the soul is filled with God. See, you empty yourself of you. That's why I say, try to speak without using the word I. I've been with people who have said, me, 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 I. And I said, can you talk without using that word? And they can't talk. It's all about themselves. It's all about how great they are, what they have done, what they have accomplished, what their family is. No, it's our delight is in God. He alone is who we're supposed to be adoring. Not us. We're nobodies. We're nothings. But God. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament and you genuflect, it should be, you are my Lord, you're my Savior, you're my Master, you're my King. Why am I genuflecting? It's because you are my God, and I love being with you. You are my King. You're my Savior. This is how we have to begin to live. This is why I call the divine will like a catechism. As you enter into this, Jesus begins to teach you why you genuflect, why you bless yourself, why you use exercise holy water, why you use exercise salt, why you use the sacraments and the sacramentals. Everything in the church is to lead us to God. This is what's so great. Volume 8, 1225, 1908. My daughter, the best way to make me be born in one's own heart, God wants to be born in us, is to empty oneself of everything. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. Everything is fiat. Because finding empty space, I, God, can place all of my divine goods in the soul. See, God wants to fill us with himself, image and likeness. And only then can I, God, remain in that soul forever when it's empty. If there is room to be able to carry all that belongs to me, God, all that is my own. A person who went to live in the house of someone else could be called happy only when he found empty space in which he is able to put all of his belongings. Otherwise, he would be unhappy. And Jesus said, so am I. If I can't place my divinity within you, I want you to share in my divinity. He says, I won't be happy. Volume 9, 5:16, 1909. My daughter, the sun is a symbol of grace. That's why, how great this sun is. It, when it finds a void, be it even a cave, a vault, a fissure, a hole, as long as there is an empty space and it is open through which it to penetrate and to enter, and fills everything with light, nor with this does it diminish its light in other spaces, so is my grace. More than majestic sun, this is God's grace. My grace envelops all creatures, and with its beneficial influence, however, it does not enter, but only into empty hearts, hearts that want nothing but God. As much empty space as it finds, so much light does it penetrate into the hearts. God wants to fill us with himself. He loves us so much. We're filled with all the things of the world, and we're not seeing God. Jesus says, every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand is an I love you. And he says, I want you to begin to hear, to smell, to taste, to touch these I love yous in all of creation. That's why Jesus said in Volume 36 to Louisa, your human senses were made by God to see God, to hear God, to smell God, to taste God, to touch God. And that's what's happening with the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Everything becomes like paradise. The everything is a fiat that we enter into. And that's why Jesus says, so am I. Okay, so here, volume 11, 8:28, 1912. My daughter, my divine love wants to find souls emptied of everything. Otherwise, it cannot clothe them with a garment of love. See, Adam lost the clothing of divinity. Adam was naked. Jesus died on the cross naked to say, I want to redeem all of mankind from Adam to the last person. And Jesus says, now I want to clothe you in divinity, clothing with the garments of love. It would happen to someone who wanted to wear a suit, but the suit is stuffed inside, so he's unable to fit in it. The same with my divine love. It wants to clothe the soul with itself. If it does not find the soul completely emptied, it withdraws and is embittered. God wants to fill us with himself. Clothe us with the nobility, divine nobility, clothing us with the garments of heaven. That's why we wear the scapular. We were saying to Our Lady, I want the clothing of heaven. That's why I wear the scapular, to say to Our Lady, I want to be reclothed in divinity. I want this. Volume 11, 9:29, 1912. At the beginning, in order to make a soul completely my own, to empty her of all this sensible, and to place in her all that is celestial and divine, I, God, detach the soul even from the necessity of food, prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, in such a way that she almost does not need it. So finding the soul in this condition, the soul touches her own with her own hand, that Jesus alone is enough. Jesus alone is enough. That nothing is necessary for her anymore. And the soul rises high. She despises everything. She cares for nothing. All she wants is her life. She wants her life to be celestial. That's what Jesus did with Louisa. Louisa did not eat, drink, or sleep for 64 years. Eat, drink, or sleep. He wanted to prove to us food is secondary. I know that might sound strange, but Louisa did not eat, drink, or sleep for 64 years. Not that we're going to go through that, but he wants to prove to us the only thing she wanted was the celestial life, and God gave it to her. So now God looks at us, and he says, what do you want? I have to give this to you. So we'll end there. We'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.